Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, Thursday night. Let's do it. Making radio great again. 800-222-5222. Email sam@samnation.com. Twitter, you know the drill. Big day in Washington today. Lots going on, especially regarding the health care bill. Now the Senate is examining it. Now, I'll tell you the background in all this to understand is that there's a natural tension between the Senate and the House. And generally speaking, the principal difference being that the House overall, in spite of all the rhinos in the House, you still have probably a more conservative base within the House, and the Senate tends to be a little bit more moderate. Many of the Republicans that are putting this bill together in the Senate are very moderate. These are people, I tell you, generally speaking, they like the goodies. They like being able to say that we care, that we are compassionate. They enjoy playing Santa Claus. Well, there are some exceptions. And of course, you've heard four names today. Those include Mike Lee from Utah, Rand Paul from Kentucky, Ted Cruz of Texas, and Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Now, these four Republican senators are looking at what the Senate is putting together in its version of the quote unquote Obamacare repeal bill. And they are not liking what they're seeing. And they're not liking what they're seeing is that it's not really an Obamacare repeal bill. You got guys like Cruz who say, look, I can't do it. I campaigned on the promise that I would repeal Obamacare. I cannot in good faith vote for this bill. Now I believe we can get it done, but it cannot be a repackaging of entitlements. It is almost as if in this bill, the Republicans are trying to outgive the Democrats. No, well, we're going to take a little bit away here and put a little bit more over there. But they're still using funny money. And I'll explain all of this. I want you. It's basic math. Now, the biggest lie in this whole bill is pre-existing conditions. And I said is because it's the subject heading, if you will. This is where there is an absolute fundamental misunderstanding about what the hell insurance is. When you buy insurance, you are buying protection. You are buying coverage. You're buying a financial safety net in the event that something bad happens that has not yet happened. So if you are buying auto insurance, you are buying coverage in case you get into an accident. What is not happening, you are not showing up at Geico or wherever and saying, you know, shucks, look at my car over here. Just got into an accident, and I really need that insurance right now. It doesn't work that way, does it? So the idea of insurance, wherever it originated from, it's a business as old as time. The idea is that a lot of people, I'm using really precise mathematical terms here, but a lot of people put each a little bit of money in. And the bean counters, the smart guys, the people with the rulers, slide rules, you know, and the very large calculators with lots of buttons and the little roll of paper in it. You know what I'm talking about. Those guys figure out, okay, this group of people, the risk of them, you know, if, you know, maybe we're going to have a loss rate of X, and they do all the math and figure it out so that they can, what? Two things. One, always have enough money to pay out claims that come out. And two, gasp, make a profit. Now, I understand when it comes to the government, there is zero interest in making a profit. a greater value is placed on the rhetorical aspect of the argument. The rhetorical aspect of the argument goes something like this. We must cover people with pre-existing injuries, accidents, no, conditions. See, but those terms are all interchangeable. They all mean the same thing. Can you imagine compelling auto insurance companies? And you've heard me talk about how much I love auto insurance companies here. But can you imagine forcing State Farm, Allstate, to cover pre-existing accidents? It's just absurd. What happens is, one, it goes against the sense of what the actual pre-existing condition thing means. I've described it before as it's not insurance. It turns into a meal plan, a cafeteria plan, right? Because now you're going, all right, I need to go see the doctor. Now I'm sick. So now I need to go into the doctor. I need to buy the coverage. And now I'm just basically paying for coverage so I can go in and take care of what I've got going on. It is literally an incentive for people not to buy coverage until they need it, which is exactly why Obamacare is going bust. I don't care how many words you put into the bill. I don't care how many pages it is. I don't care what type of legalese or legislatees is in there. I am telling you, as certain as I am of the law of gravity, which I figure out every time I wake up in the morning, I am telling you the laws of economics are clear. This never will work. It will be a loss-leading disaster from the day it starts, and it is all about that little feel-good phrase, pre-existing conditions. So when I woke up, you know, yesterday, we didn't even know what the hell was in this thing. Because these Republicans, yeah, they're just holding it all close to their Mitch McConnell, the great chinless Mitchell, we barely basically got out some draft. We'll call it an outline of the bill. And they do this, I'll tell you, I want to assure you on one hand, this is fairly normal and contentious things. They want to hide the ball. Now, the Democrats did this thing they did it right up to the bill's passage. We didn't want anybody to know about Obama. They gave a very, very thin sketch of what was in it. And no Republicans went along with it, but they didn't need it. They had the House, they had the Senate, done and done. Obama put his signature on it, and it was law. But here they have to get out some of the details on it, because they have Republicans in the Senate that are doing something that the Democrats in the Senate didn't do with Obamacare. They are actually rising up and saying, look, this has to make sense. And in to exactly illustrate to you the issue with pre-existing conditions, Rand Paul gave an interview today explaining to Wolf Blitzer, by the way, that's pearls before swine to try to throw out logic to CNN. But anyway, really explained, and I'm listening to this, I'm like, yes, 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 yes. And so I'm going to play it for you, because this is exactly what I've been banging on about when it comes to pre-existing conditions. And he just explains it in terms of your average guy who is going to be buying this type of product. Have a listen.
If I'm a working guy in the United States and I make $30,000 a year, but because of the additional regulatory problems that my insurance costs $10,000, and you tell me, oh, you can buy it also after you get sick, nobody's going to buy insurance. People are smart enough to avoid buying insurance. That's what happened. That's the death spiral that is Obamacare. That's one of my points about not supporting this bill, is actually I think it keeps the pre-existing condition, keeps the regulations, and then subsidizes the death spiral. That's my real complaint. We are not fixing Obamacare. The problems of Obamacare will remain and may get worse, but we're going to dump a bunch of taxpayer money that's going to wind up in the coffers of very, very wealthy insurance companies.
That's it. It's a built-in incentive for people to not buy the product until they need it. And the way Obamacare was sold to you and I want to just remind you, give you a little bit of history. The way it was sold was we are going to force everyone to buy it. Everyone's going to buy it. See, now you get that, Sam. You got to understand the math. Before, only a small number of people bought it. See, there wasn't a lot of money in the marketplace. We are going to force this product on everyone. Okay. Well, it works. I guess it works. It works so long as what? If you're forcing everybody to buy it, then this issue doesn't come up with pre-existing conditions. But that was what it works so long as, right? You don't have people who are up. There's no way to skirt the requirement. And that was the greatest lie in Obamacare. There was a fixed price for the penalty. The penalty came in the form of a fixed formula, which was soon dwarfed by the cost of the insurance. When you fix the price of the penalty, eventually the penalty will be less than the coverage. And the explanation is simple human behavior. Enough people opt out, they pay the penalty, they get lazy, and pretty soon the cost of insuring people, because they're all showing up when they're sick, they're all showing up with their banged up cars after they got into an accident, they're all coming into Allstate's right lobby. I gotta give we all drive cars. This is a great analogy. You show up with $3,500 of damage to the back of your car, you just got rear-ended. And you go, Allstate, I'd like you to sell me auto insurance for $120 a month. So you buy the coverage for $120 a month, and then you keep it for as long as you get your bumper fixed, and then you cancel it. So now let's say that whole process took 2 months. This is a legitimate way of explaining it. So now you've paid $120, $150, whatever your monthly premium is. Let's say it's $150. You have paid $300 in, and then what do? You're smart. You know. you just made off. You took a $3,500 benefit, and out of your pocket went $300. You got an over a 90% discount. Most people pay the penalty. I subsidize healthcare at the office, and it's heavily subsidized. There's still people who choose to pay the penalty because there's a formula and whatnot, and some people have, for whatever reason, have higher rate, and it's nuts. The penalty is still cheaper than their small portion that they have to pay toward it. On average, coverage has gone up $5,000 per household. And I can tell you right now that in the great Obama economy, wages did not match that rise. So this is the problem. And there's nothing. I'm sorry, folks. I wish I could be Santa Claus. It would be far more popular for me to sit here and say, now, looky here. I'm compassionate. I care about people. We really can't exclude people with pre-existing conditions. No, there has to be a system that works. And I'll tell you this is the God's honest truth. The more meddling, the more regulatory interference there is with an insurance system, the worse it works. If you let insurance companies set these rates, they will make their money, they will get rich, but in turn, they're always going to be fighting to get the best product. And insurance companies cannot, it's like any business, they can't price themselves out of the marketplace. And this goes back to what I've always argued with medicine. If you made everybody pay for it in cash, the prices would be totally different. And why is that? Because all these hospitals that we pass on the road, all these doctors out there, everybody, do you think that they could live off of $50,000, $60,000 procedures? No way. No how. They'd have to put in pricing that makes sense. Yes, just like with pets. Trust me, it's the same thing. I've explained that before. You need me? Do I need to do a repeat of that? Maybe I will. There's news out of Canada. I'm going to get to this next segment. There's news out of Canada. You don't want to miss this. Stay tuned.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation. Hey, apparently there is some news here from within the studios. Colin, it's his birthday today. 24. Congrats. Happy birthday, man. Colin is our board op. He is incredible. He is the one who has to make sure that everything works between our undisclosed location here, deep behind the orange curtain, the not so famous Sweet James Studios in Orange County, and LA. And it's, you know, it's no small task. But he's 24. Geez, that's deep in millennial land. So we have a millennial in our midst. So happy birthday, Colin, and thank you for everything that you do for us. So, health insurance. I always explain it to understand what our world would look like without it. Because this whole discussion is about how everybody needs health insurance, and I always think I challenge the premise of every argument first. This is a life hack. You know, you don't if you immediately just go to addressing the problem somebody puts before you, you're already losing. The premise of health insurance, the whole thing of it is nutty. I think we should just go to cash pay. And the reason for it is, look, I see what happens with my pet. I have a dog. She's 11. In dog years, that's old as dirt. Lucy is the love of my life. Okay, she was our firstborn. She's very furry, very adorable, miniature long-haired dachshund. Things happen. And one time, I explained this to you, I think I've said this before, so but just bear with me. We had one of her friends, another dachshund, was over to our house, and while we were taking care of him, his back gave out, needed to go in for an emergency back surgery. Now, for a human, this type of surgery, 100 grand minimum. And how it gets paid for, we don't really understand because we've got health insurance and somehow it gets taken care of, and we don't know, and then we got this copay or we got whatever. Anyway. But with her, with this dog that we were taking care of, it's cash. And the amount, oddly, it was like $5,000. But the reason it's $5,000 is not because it's a dog, not because the facility where it was done. I'm telling you, incredible. State of the art. The surgeon that does it, top notch. One of the most famous doggy spine surgeons in Orange County. I'm not making this up. But the cost is... It has to be something that the average person who loves their dog is willing to pay or get into, you know, put on their credit card. It's basic economics. It's what people can buy. It's what people can afford. That is what, in a normal economy, sets the price and value of a good. Not what the government says. It's all econ. Econ should be a mandatory course for every person in high school. I should just train people in this from the get-go. Make them strong before they get to college. Okay, I got to get in. You know Canada. I love to make fun of Canada. My uncle lives in Canada. He's a great guy. I love my relatives there. You think we have an embarrassing leader in this country? Justin Trudeau. He makes Pajama Boy look. I don't know who has more facial hair, Justin Trudeau or Pajama Boy John Ossoff. What happened today? Oh, Justin Trudeau was in the news. He met with Gary the Unicorn, a puppet. And as part of this meeting, he joined something called the Hug Club. I'm out of time. I'm going to have to play this. I'm going to have to play you this clip when we come back after the news. Because the visual of this, the puppet is a little kind of rainbow-colored unicorn. It's multicolored. I am guessing the unicorn puppet is of an alternative lifestyle. I have no independent confirmation of this, but the imagery of it. You got this odd video of Trudeau kind of on his knees behind his desk in a conference room in his office. It all looks very august behind him, you know, wood paneling and everything, Canadian flag. And there he is, like a dolt, kneeling and talking to a unicorn. You don't need to see the video. Trust me, it would make you gag. But I will play you the audio when we come back after the news. So, John Wolfe, you know, bring it. I don't know what better you have than what I'm delivering here.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rujofsky, Sam Nation on Talk Radio, 790 KBC, live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. And speaking of which, Sweet James himself is he here? He is. He has stepped into the studios and will be on next segment. So you don't want to miss this. We have the man himself. Now, well, so Sweet James, he's got a dense beard, very thick, lots of wise growth. The exact opposite of that would be Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, wunderkind. And as I told you right before the break, Prime Minister Trudeau had a visitor to his office. I don't know what they call it. Is it an Oval Office? Well, at any rate, to his place of business. And you're probably wondering who this visitor was. Well, it's a puppet named Gary the Unicorn. Who else? The premise of this show on TV is that you've got a unicorn that goes around hugging people. And, well, I just have a listen to this.
It's time for Gary's Hug Club! Yay! Well, hello, fellow friends. I'm Gary the Unicorn, and I'm hanging out with my friend, the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau. Yay!
Hi, Gary.
Oh, wow, it's so awesome to be here. You know what? I just wanted to ask you something.
Sure.
Do you want to be in my hug club?
I would love to be in your hug club, Gary.
Well, what you have to do is you have to give me a hug that I've never had before.
Oh, boy. I'm going to do what I want to do all the time when I meet people is give them the biggest, squeeziest hug that I can.
Really?
I think that's what you're going to get as a prime minister's hug.
Okay.
Ready?
I can't wait for it.
Brace yourself.
I'm bracing myself. Oh, yes.
I think the words for this are career suicide. No? This is... No, apparently not in Canada. The puppet, by the way, is rainbow colored. It's a unicorn. I don't want to give anything away, but he has one horn on his forehead. And he says the whole thing is so cringeworthy because Trudeau is like kneeling at his desk, like at this conference table or desk. Not sure exactly what it is. Lots of wood paneling everywhere. He's just kneeling and kind of awkwardly turned. And then he's the one who's like, I'm going to give you the biggest hug. Woo! You know, I, for one, am glad that our president is just a little more on the alpha side of things. I mean, Hillary Clinton is more masculine than this guy. I know this is not very politically correct, but I would never have done something like this. I think I don't know. I think that there's a fine line there, and I get it. I'm a dad. I have kids. This is for a kid's show. Oh, Sam, he's just being cute. You're so mean. You're such a horrible person. I can hear it now. Could have done this privately, but not on a video. So, where does this leave us? Oh, Trump's been tweeting, by the way. He is tweeting up a story, and I'll tell you, I want to say this for all of you who say that the tweets are out of control, that they are unpresidential. I'll refer you to the Trudeau unicorn hug video. For all those who think that this is not the right move, the media is out there defaming him 24/7, and then they're the ones who are suggesting that he not fight back. Think about that. This is really what it is. Okay, after the break, don't go anywhere. We're going to have Sweet James here, and we're going to talk about some stuff. It's all going to be highly interesting. I promise. No, I promise it is. I promise it is. And then we still got so much to cover. Don't go anywhere. Back right after this.
Talk Radio. 790.
KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here. We are back. And I'll tell you, we've got somebody special here in the studio. James, did you ever, when you were a little kid, growing up on the mean streets of Salt Lake City, Utah, did you ever think that you were going to have an actual radio studio named after you?
I did not. I always hoped that. I always hoped that would happen. But
well, this is a thing. You tell the kids out there, you know, so you work really hard. You grow a dense beard. You help a lot of people out. And someday you too can have, a nice undisclosed studio somewhere in Orange County.
Deep named after behind the orange curtain.
That's where we are. How does it feel?
Amazing.
Fantastic. So I have to ask you.
Yes, sir.
No, we all, you know, I talk about you. Other people on the radio talk about you as well. What is it like? I mean, when you're out there, you know, among us, you know, when you're out there, hobnobbing with the rest of us that are, you know, walking this earth. Do you run into clients? Do people recognize you? Go, hey.
Yeah.
It's you.
Yeah, it happens more and more frequently. I mean, the firm's been around for over a dozen years. I mean, a decade plus, and I've helped thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and just the law of averages catches up, and you're going to run into some people. I just left an event earlier today.
To come
to the studio. Guy comes up to me, very excited. Oh, James, can I get my picture taken with you? I said, yeah, of course. We take a picture.
He wants a photo.
Yeah, he wants a photo. And he gets his phone and immediately goes, my dad's going to love this. And I go, your dad? And he goes, yeah. My dad works for blank insurance company, and you just kicked his butt on a case. True story.
And the guy, like, loves it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's awesome. So stories like this happen. Now, I always tell people to not talk to the insurance company.
Yeah.
Am I telling them the right thing?
You are telling them the right thing.
Now, people ask, why is it? Why is that? Like, why? Because, you know, I think the natural instinct with most good people is the golden rule. You know, if I'm palms up in dealing with the insurance company, then they're going to be fair back to me.
Right.
So that's not true.
That's not true. I'll tell you why it's not true. An adjuster. I was talking to an adjuster on the phone. He was very disillusioned, as he should have been. And he mentioned the very first day of training, they told him to set aside his moral compass.
That's what they told him.
That's what they told him. That is what those adjusters are trained to do. There's no moral compass, obviously, but there's no, hey, I'll be fair with you, you be fair with me. They don't play those same rules.
And so, I mean, and again, I don't know if you listen to the show. I don't blame you if you don't. But But you know, I'm a capitalist. I'm a yes. You know, I'm a guy who believes in companies and corporations getting rich. I love it. I think that's what America's all about. Yeah. I think what folks need to understand is that getting rich is what these companies are doing. They're allowed to do that, but they're not looking out for you,
that's
right?
Correct.
They're not looking out for you. And the way this works is you've got to get somebody to look out for you.
Yeah. These companies don't get rich by paying you money. By paying, you collect premiums and you hold on to it. That's how you get rich.
So, you know, and I always tell people to call you and that you actually do talk to clients.
All the time.
And I know that every time I've been in your office, I'll walk in and you're on the phone.
Yeah.
And you're not necessarily, I think most of the time you're talking to people. You're talking to clients.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
Love it. Love it. As a matter of fact, after the show, I'm running back in the office. I have to make a few more calls tonight.
8 o'clock at night?
10 is my cutoff.
Oh, okay. After that, you turn into a pumpkin?
After that, that's it. No more calls.
That's terrific. Do you call clients at night?
Up until 10 o'clock.
That's what you do? Yeah. I see. Yeah. Okay. It's the 10 o'clock.
That's the cutoff time.
I got it. Yeah. And what happens when you call a client at 9:30? Are they shocked?
Every time.
They're like, what? What are you doing?
Yeah. A lot of times it's, hey, I had an accident years ago. I never heard from my attorney. You call me all the time. And all the time.
That's it. Good. Do you have time to stay for next segment?
Of course I do.
All right. Don't go anywhere. We're gonna keep this magnificent bastard here for one more segment. And all right. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, we have the one and only Sweet James Bergner, attorney extraordinaire, here with us in the Sweet James studios. And it's great to have you. Why do we not do this more often?
It's nice to be on Sam Nation. It's great to be here.
Well, but it's terrific. So now I have to ask you, earlier in the show.
Yes.
I know politics not necessarily your thing, but we were talking about health insurance and the concept of pre-existing conditions.
Yes.
Now you're the expert in all things insurance related when it comes to car accidents, for example.
Yeah.
So auto insurance. Can I buy insurance for an accident after I've been in the accident?
No, you cannot. It would not apply.
That's it.
Yeah.
Done. Your Honor, I rest my case. Can we deploy you to the Senate to tell these ladies and gentlemen over there a thing or two? I mean, it's the argument I was making. It's the same thing. Well, anyway, I want to ask you about another thing. I always tell people here that it's you know, if they're stuck in a bad relationship, if they've got a bad attorney. Or attorney that's not calling the back, whatnot, doesn't stay at the office like you do till 10 o'clock at night to return calls. Can they switch? And do they? Does that happen often?
Yeah. Yeah, you can switch, and it does happen often. And it's easy. It's easy. I make the breakup call.
I told people that. And I said, you know, I know it's awkward. You know, maybe you hired a family friend and you say that's a common one.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yesterday I had a call. A woman, a horrible accident. Her friend's husband is an attorney and doesn't do what I do, does real estate or something like that, and tried to navigate her case. And damaged it severely. And luckily, I'll be able to fix it. But for 3 months, she suffered.
And I'm mystified. So people, you go to the expert, right?
Yeah.
Go to the person.
Yes.
Go to the person that does personal injury cases and don't try to go to somebody who's like, oh, I'll help you.
Right. If I need brain surgery, I'm not going to a podiatrist. You know, it's just I'm going to go to the guy who knows what he's doing.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. So, all right. So you, everybody hear this? You don't have if you're in with a bad lawyer and you're not happy, you just let James do the breakup.
Or just avoid going to a bad lawyer in the first place. Just come to me first and everything's done.
Yeah, that's good. So I want to tell you something. We talk about a lot of uncomfortable topics here on the program.
Yep.
Sometimes I say things that are not necessarily politically correct. And you know, I know that you've gotten some blowback and some hate. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate the fact that you support what we do here, that you are our sponsor, that you've stuck with us through thick and thin. It's cool.
And we'll continue to do so.
Oh, you're the man. Come back again. Next week, maybe?
Yeah, we can do this. When I'm not making calls, I'll be here.
I love it. Okay, so, folks, that's it. We're out of time. Fastest hour in radio in the can. I'm flying it overnight. You know, I'm going to Mexico overnight. So I'll be in Mexico City tomorrow, live from there.
That is cool.
Be prepared for some yariba yariba. Over and out. To the shindig, chopped up, it says I'm gonna win big. Choose not to like of imitation. Talk radio. 790. KABC.